Welcome, everybody, to the Spawnomy Podcast. This is your host, Khalif Adams. This is episode 197 of our show. Thank you, everybody, for coming and hanging out with us tonight here on Twitch and in podcast land. We have lots of cool stuff going on. But first, we have to introduce the crew. My man, my mellow, the smooth kind of fellow, the man who makes gaming look good, who makes STEM look good, who makes mini froze look good, who makes Destiny 2 PC guardianship look good. It is Sharif Jackson of SharifJackson.com. How are you, sir?
Hey, guys. What is up? What is up? Very, very happy to be here today. And yes, there has been some guardianship going on. Been like flexing on the PC style a little bit. So it's been fun. I've been having a good time.
Word. We also have chilling with us as usual, per usual. It is the Duchess of Diversity, CEO, Grand Poobah of I Need Diverse Games. It is Tanya DePass. How are you doing, Tanya?
Dude, TwitchCon wrecked me. I'm still tired.
TwitchCon does that to people. That's what it does. Yeah. It hurts souls and brings people together and also just makes people real tired.
Super. Look, it was like LineCon. We'll get into that. Just it was LineCon. Put it that way.
Yes. Yes, we will definitely get into that in a minute or two. Our wonderful, amazing guest that we have rocking with us tonight, one of our favorite people on the planet, one of the best streamers on Twitch, one of the dopest people on the mother effing planet. It is simply Andrea.
Hey.
Andrea, how are you doing today?
I'm good. I can't complain. I'm with my faves. I'm great.
We faves.
Everybody, thank you so much for hanging out with us tonight here on Twitch again, and everybody who listened to our shows. Man, we did like crazy blockbuster shows in the past week. We had the lovely Robin Hunneke over from Phenomena talking about Luna, and we had Mike Bithell talking about Subsurface Circular. I think that's what it was. That's the name of it. Did I get it right?
That is the name. You got it right.
Yeah. Hostess with the mostest. So thank you to everyone for hanging out and listening to those shows. We gave you a lot of stuff to kind of dig into this week, and also being able to kind of see those things on our vodcast that we dropped over the weekend. So thank you, everyone, for checking those things out as usual. And thank you for everyone who has subbed, who has followed, who has shared all of our work over the past week. It's been phenomenal. We're almost at 100 patrons on our Patreon, which is nice. Craziness. We're almost at the next level, at the $500 level of our Patreon, which is amazing. And if you are a patron, you got an email or you got a message from me kind of going over some of the stuff that you should be looking forward to in the next month when we start doing our after show and our political show, which I'm super excited to dig into as well. So, word, we have a lot of stuff to dig into this week. Let's kind of dig into what's been going on with Tanya and Andrea, because you two just came back from L TwitchCon. I'm going to call it L TwitchCon. Hashtag L TwitchCon, because I just feel like doing that. I'm going to start off with Andrea, because Andrea is the guest, about what your thoughts, feelings, ideas, your from your heart. How did you feel TwitchCon was?
How did you feel? Like, I mean, you want the long form essay? That's not planned. But
I want the long form essay about TwitchCon. How you think everything went?
It was good work wise. Like, I never complain about working at a convention, but it was, security could have been more on point with a lot, and communication was lost somewhere between event staff and security because they didn't know certain entrances and exits. Like, I need to get in and out with my team. Like, if I ask you if this is the entrance for exhibitors, you shouldn't be hitting me with the, I don't know. Like, get on walkie-talkie, find somebody who does know so I can know if this is a yes door for me. Like, it was really hectic in terms of
So I'm guessing if you had to ask, that means the signage wasn't there.
No, it was no signage. None. And I don't even want to get into the in real life streamers who were just sticking cameras in everybody's faces without asking. Mm. Like, come on. Oh. Like, TwitchCon. Like,
I have a question about that.
Yes,
actually.
Please. Ask away.
So, and it's maybe not a question, but maybe less of a question and more of a kind of comment.
No.
Do you.
Sorry.
It was Thank a week. You for coming. This has been episode 197 of the Squad Podcast.
Good night.
The answer was D. No.
It's a reflex from moderating panels.
It is.
God damn. She like moderated the moderator on the.
That was fantastic.
Somebody clip that, please.
Anyway, please, that was great.
What I wanted to know is because I saw a lot of folks complaining about the in real life streamers wilding out, throwing their phones in people's faces, mm-hmm. like, yo, this is real life.
Yeah.
Yo, I want to see what you're doing. Why are you in the party over there?
No,
What's good? Do you feel like it's a thing where, like you said, people were kind of out of line with that?
They were out of line.
Like that's a thing that, since that is their shtick. Like, you're on all the time. Like, I get it. You get it. Why can't they do it?
Well, it's not that they can't. I would just like the courtesy of asking before you stick a camera in my face. Like, I wish I could say that TwitchCon was a vacation. It's great to see my friends and my favorites. But, like, this work for me. Like, if you're going to film me, like, at least let me know, like, hey, can I talk to you? Or I'm in real life streaming. Like, I remember a streamer friend of mine was wandering around on the floor. But before I got... 2 feet from him, he was like, I'm streaming right now. Just like, let somebody know. Don't just stick cameras in people's faces. I wish that they had signage like E3, because E3 lets you know if you're in like a public filming space. TwitchCon should have some clear signage.
That would be really interesting to see how that would play out. Because I wonder if you would ask an IRL streamer, what their thoughts were pertaining to that, what they would say. If they would have been like, well, this is what I do.
True. I can do this. I mean, we're all streamers, but like,
yeah,
I go to TwitchCon to like relax and try to not stream. Like, I want to kind of live those moments. I don't want them filmed all the time. Like, I just want to kind of chill out with my friends and not have to worry about a camera in my face.
But the thing I find weird is this is not the first year of TwitchCon. This is the third year, I believe. So these had to come up in previous years. So why?
Let me tell you.
Why do you think it's something they still haven't nailed?
Every year, the crowds get bigger. Because I've been at the first one. I've been to every single TwitchCon ever since the first one in San Francisco. This year, in terms of IRL, was very intense. Like, it was the most I think I've ever seen any streamer walking around the main floor just filming. Like, it's been streamers who've done it before. But for some reason this year, I don't know, it was like a memo that was sent out. And it was just like no common courtesy. Like, it is the first year that IRL was a thing on Twitch, but it isn't the first time streamers have been on the floor filming. Like, I've seen lots of streamers since the first TwitchCon on the floor. This is the first time it was just really kind of blatant and out there.
People walling.
No manners.
That's so
please.
Interesting. Oh man, we got to talk more about that.
Absolutely.
Too. Tanya, I want to jump over to you really quick. What are some of your thoughts about how TwitchCon went for you and expectations going in? Because I think this was your first TwitchCon. Am I correct?
Oh yep. Man, I'm sorry.
So, see, this is answered for me.
No, this is me not knocking. Like, I got a quick disclaimer. Like, I'm not knocking event staff. Like, y'all killed it with what y'all had to work with. But, like, I feel bad for first-timers because San Diego, in comparison to all the other years, San Diego was perfect.
We talked about that a little bit about E3 this year, too, where a lot of first-timers, I think they got the short end of the stick. But, but Tanya, I want to hear some of your thoughts about, how you think everything went and your hearts and feels about that before you tell me no again.
Well, my feels are... This could easily have turned me off ever wanting to go back. Because, like Andrea... Mm-hmm. Conventions for me are work. If I'm not on a panel, if I don't have a booth, if I don't have appointments, I can't justify the cost of going to a convention. So the fact that I had no internet service and my phone, like cellular or internet, did not work on my phone in the convention hall.
Right.
So if I need to link up with somebody, if we hadn't arranged something before I left for the day, I just couldn't find nobody. So there's a lot of people I missed out on seeing. Opportunities I probably missed out on because I couldn't DM someone and go, hey, are you free for like a half hour?
Right.
I'm on the floor, except for where the Twitch Unity booth was, and that internet that was there for a specific purpose. Who knows how many opportunities people lost. And y'all know I swear anyway, it was a clusterfuck. There was a lot of security where had they told people, we're going to have metal detectors, it's going to be like PAX. Don't bring your life with you to make it go quicker. And also speaker badges, like Andrew was saying. There was exhibitor badges, mm-hmm. and it said partner, it said affiliate or attendee. If I'm on a panel and you know this is how security is going to run, give me a speaker badge so I can go, I need to be on a panel in 20 minutes, not be, send me to the back of a half mile long line.
Wait, what?
I mean, honestly, I had to go through the security line, and I told the lady, I'm like, I have a panel in like 15 minutes. Can I just cut through this door? And she's like, no, you got to wait in line. And I'm like, so do you not see the black strip? Do you not see? I'm like, really? I did. I had to wait in line.
Wow. Yeah. Wow. I mean,
it was.
I mean, I showed the badge. I tweeted the badge when I got there. But this is the partner badge. And thanks to Andrea and Anyki, I also had an exhibitor badge. But that still didn't make a difference when even the exhibitor line was ridiculously long.
Right.
So I don't know last year if they had speaker badges, but every con I've gone to is either like PAX does a SPG or special guest badge. Other places so you can go at least, hey, here's me. I have a different status than a regular attendee because I'm on a panel. Mm-hmm. I've got a booth, whatever. And it was ridiculous because I had a meeting Friday morning, missed the start of the keynote. Mm-hmm. I got there. There's still lines snaking almost back to the street. Absolutely. To get into the convention.
Right.
It's supposed to open at noon,
right?
Which mm-hmm. is real late for a convention. It's like, I flew from across the country and you're not starting until noon. I could have done a early bird flight that morning if that's how it was going to be.
Mm.
So I don't know. I just think there was a lot of mismanagement and a lot of the panels felt the same, but just with different faces. And I think it hurt attendance for panels where people have worked on this stuff so hard. You know, the politics panel I was on, well, the room was half empty when we started. It finally mm-hmm. filled, but that's probably because it took people a while to get into the con.
I wonder though, besides the management parts of it, we saw again, I'm using E3 as a comparable mm-hmm. kind of conference because of size and amounts of people, both new and kind of regulars, if mm-hmm. you want to call them that. And I wonder if, you know, TwitchCon getting this big, if they're going to try to either pare that down if they get more complaints about, you know, how things actually went, or if they're just going to keep getting bigger and bigger and bigger. Because if you think about it, with affiliate status being a thing now, and with partnership being a thing, that they're trying to basically boost more people to get into the ecosystem so that, you know, you're bringing in more revenue to Twitch. I wonder how that's going to wind up looking a little bit later in the upcoming years, I should say. Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, I guess my question to you two, to Atanya and Andrea, is what do you feel like the purpose of the con is? Is the purpose for, as you said, Andrea, everybody to get together, chill, and sort of have that in-person like relationship? Or is the purpose like, let's stream everything and make this into a big Twitch event to draw viewers and that kind of stuff? Or like, is it a little bit in the middle?
I think it's in the middle. It's a lot of components to how TwitchCon has grown over the years from when I've seen it. It's not just a hub for you to meet your friends and then meet the streamers you admire or meet the people in the industry you admire. It's also an opportunity for, you know, smaller streamers to network, to get used to meeting with companies, to get used to kind of meeting with each other. And it's also a way for new, like, Twitch talent to be hosts, because there was a lot of Twitch streamer associates of mine who are hosts now. So it's a good opportunity for them to get on-camera experience, hosting experience.
Okay.
It wasn't like that in the beginning, but it is now, and I think it's pretty dope.
I guess... Oh, go ahead. Go ahead, Tanya.
No, I was going to say, like, for me, I didn't know what the purpose was, because so many people were like, it's to go meet your favorite streamer. True. And I was like, I stream too.
A lot of fans go, though, too. A lot of fans and streamers go, too.
It's a fan show.
Mm, it is.
Yeah, everything I read about it was meet your favorite streamers. Mm-hmm. That was what I saw the most.
That too.
Mm-hmm. Right, but here's the thing. You know, for someone who's not all like, oh my God, it's my favorite streamer, I'm starstruck, mm-hmm. and I'm not going to stand in line. I don't care who it is. I'm not standing in line for an hour for like a 30-second handshake, nice to meet you, and a selfie. And pay. I don't think they charge, but most cons do charge for signatures or time with whoever. And it's like, I have an issue with the pseudo celebrity that streamers and YouTubers get, because I'm sorry, I stream too. Why should you be at a higher tier just because you got a partner badge?
I mean, it's, well, I think it's a mix of multiple things, right? Where it's like, I think you have this subsect of the folks who are going to TwitchCon because they're trying to meet with people who they can, you know, mentor, be mentored by, or get information from, or, you know, you run into your favorite streamer, or you're, you know, someone who's not like, I'll say the like A-list streamer who's like the top person who's like always on a show or whatever. Mm-hmm. And you want to run into them and be like, well, how did you do what you do? Cause I'm here too. I stream too. Mm-hmm. How did you get to where you got? And I think some people want that FaceTime where they're like, that's right. The thing that they want to be able to go do and see it. And I'm in the same boat where I don't have that starstruckness with people who are in the streaming world, but there are a lot of people who do. Mm-hmm. Like, it was interesting. DJ Knight was doing a meet and greet. Mm-hmm. And I remember when he wasn't even partner. I remember when he was like doing like 15 people in his stream.
Yeah.
And now people are like waiting in line to go see mm-hmm. him. So like it's a weird in-between space it where is. It's like, yes, the pseudo celebrity thing I think is definitely a not an issue, but it's a symptom of what we are all doing. But I think that like you and I, Tanya, we wouldn't fare well in those situations because we don't care that much in that same way. So it's like it's an interesting conversation. I would like to poke at the folks who do have that kind of starstruckness to see what that impetus is and what that kind of like what that pull is for them.
Mm-hmm.
But it's fandom. Fandom is the thing, right?
Yeah. Well, I think some of it is generational as well. I mean, the people that are younger than us, they have grown up with, you know, YouTube and Twitch and stuff in the same way that we grew up, you know, watching, you know, television shows, you know, without DVRs and that kind of stuff, right? So I think that, like, you know, I don't know what the age range of most attendees at Twitch is, but I would imagine that most of the fans would be younger because they would associate streamers with, you know, that's what they know, you know, and that's mm-hmm. what they identify with the most. Did you guys get a sense, Andrea and Atanya, that there was a slightly younger audience on the fan side there, or did it seem more mixed?
Oh, absolutely. There were some babies. There were some babies there.
Some babies
waiting in line. They were so cute.
Babies.
The little stuff they wanted signed. Yeah.
Go ahead. I'm sorry, Tanya. Go ahead.
You are cutting me off today. I'm gonna yell at you.
You're yell just at me. No. Yell at him.
Oh. I'm just gonna put my emote. I'm just gonna put my emote.
Not the emote, though. I cry.
I scared your emote. Or you. Well, no. It's, I feel like I love you too. But I'm still gonna whoop your ass when I see you.
I take it.
I charge.
Oh, that's a whole other conversation.
That's the after dark combo.
That's more than me after dark. That's a whole other conversation.
It's great.
See? Get us all together. See what happens.
Yeah, that should be part of the Patreon, actually.
Yeah, see what happened was. Uh-huh. But I think it was mixed. I got the sense that a lot of these streamers that are older, like, you know, in their late 20s, early 30s, 40s, that are partnered are using it as a business networking thing versus like the 15, 16, 17 year olds that are like, I'm going to stream and get famous and go spend and go make money. Like when you're 16 and ain't got no bills. Yes. And you get about 100 subs. That's your pocket money. Cool. So I don't know. I just felt like it was a mix. So I saw a lot. I feel like I saw a lot of parents with their teenagers.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, wow.
Yep.
But it's like, my mother would have never taken me to nothing like that. Even if it was like in downtown Chicago, she'd been like, get your ass on that bus and go. So
my question for you, Andrea, is since you are of at least the folks in this particular room, the most seasoned streamer in here. I know you just looked at me. You was like, oh, you're just calling me seasoned.
Quit.
But you have the most time in of all of us on this platform. At this point, do you think TwitchCon is a thing that if you were not working, you would still go to for that kind of what can I learn? What can I do to get myself better stuff that you find a lot of folks going to TwitchCon for? Do you feel like that at the level that you're at now?
Mm-hmm.
That you would still need some of that stuff?
No, honestly, I would go to just hang out with my friends and just kind of chill out for a little bit. If I didn't have to work, I would just go to panels, see my people, and just chill out and hang out. As far as like learning from like industry heads, I'd say it's more like an E3 GDC experience. TwitchCon is more laid back. If I had to compare, it's more laid back in that rate.
Okay, that's good to know. I mean, that's good to know. I've always been curious to see like if folks who are doing it and kind of doing it really well, if you get to a plateau where those conversations don't really mean anything for you. And it sounds like at least in your case, that's not the necessarily like that's not what that thing is there for.
Not for me. No.
I guess Tanya, would you say that like now, because you're kind of in that in between space now where it's like you if word. Yeah, she looks like she's like, what? you've done a lot of streaming for a while now. Mm-hmm. Do you feel like there are things there that even when you kind of looked at the docket of panels and stuff that you might have wanted to go to be like, well, this will help me up my game when I go stream?
Not a lot, because a lot of it seemed like it was geared toward the beginning streamer. Mm-hmm. It was like either kind of diversity focused, more social issues focused, or here's some basic things like learning how to do taxes, learning about what happens post-stream, and that you are doing business if you get subscribers and take in money, and what do you do with that? A lot of it was businessy type things that I already know, because I'm not a new streamer. I've actually been streaming for 3 years. Mm-hmm. So it was like this, there wasn't a lot of intermediate stuff or higher tier stuff. And it's like, you know, there's things that are locked out for partners, because even though I had the partner badge, it was too late for me to have access to anything. So I didn't reap the benefit of a partner badge. And I didn't like, and I'm not at that level where I can like network with some people, because, you know, the higher tier, I even want to use higher tier, the more well-known streamers are going to have their fans around them at all times. So it's not like there's an opportunity to go up and just talk to someone and go, hey, I like what you do. Can we network or talk after the con? So there's not a lot of opportunities. Like I said, I'm not going to sit there and stand in line and talk to nobody. So, I mean, sound like an asshole, but
no. Is there anybody ever that you would be like, yo, somebody like Michelle Obama, would you wait in line for Michelle Obama?
Maybe. I mean, am I going to get more than 30 seconds?
Yeah, you get like at least 45 seconds with
no,
with
at Michelle least. Obama. I need like 5 minutes. Because
you got to think about it though. Like they got to usher all the other 7,000 people past.
I just gonna have to wait. It's Michelle.
They live here. I'm sure I'll eventually run up into them at some point, because he can't be like, he's not president anymore. I don't know. I'm not Star Trek. The only person I'd wait to see, and I better get more than 30 seconds and how you doing in a selfie, is Idris Elba.
Okay. Idris number one.
Hallelujah.
That's reasonable.
Amen.
That's reasonable.
Well, hold on though. So last year when TwitchCon was the same weekend as GameRex, and I couldn't go, and I had been making plans to go until I found out there was a date conflict. Mm-hmm. Andre and I were talking on Twitter, and even last year we got that same, oh, it's to go meet your favorite streamers. Mm-hmm. And I think that's, at least for me, and that's why I said, in a lot of times since the con, I don't know if I'm the target audience, because that is not a draw. Like when I go to the local Twitch meetup, it's to see my buddies, because I get in a cab, I go see them, and I go home. I don't have to fly 4 hours, pay for a hotel, pay for meals. That's a lot of money to go see people I can watch every day on the internet for free.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, I guess I was hoping that TwitchCon was more like GDC, in that when I went to like GDC, I just saw folks, you know, like folks are always walking around from like panel to panel or like to get food. I saw most people just running into them, you know? Right. So like even people that were super popular, they weren't always covered with fans or bodyguards or whatever. They were just walking places. So I was hoping that TwitchCon would have that kind of vibe where you would just see people when you're walking through and just be able to stop and just chat with them for a little bit. You know, but like I'm getting from what you guys are saying that you didn't have that sense, that it was more like if you wanted to talk to somebody, it was almost like you had to, you know, schedule like an Outlook appointment.
you know?
Well, I mean, if you call somebody after a panel, that was fine, but they just have been on a panel for an hour.
Right.
And there's 20 other people that want to talk to them. Mm-hmm. So even if you could say, hey, do you have any time? By the time they got there, their time was probably already booked from mm-hmm. Friday morning to Sunday afternoon. Mm-hmm. Puscums in the chat asked a good question, and I would like all of us to address it because I think it's valuable because we're all long-term-ish streamers. And Puscums asked, what would be beneficial for an intermediate streamer? So, Andrea, you are our guest. You get to go first.
What would be good for intermediate streamers? Marketing, how to pitch, not just like AAA companies, but how to pitch for sponsorships, how to pitch for affiliates, just how to pitch in general, basic marketing, taxes, how to write emails, etiquette when like dealing with other streamers, just how to protect yourself online, you know, how to scrub your personal information if you're online, different things like that for intermediate streamers who need that kind of information, because you can't just always depend on like Nightbot and Moobot. And yeah, it needs to be a lot more. I mean, that's just off the top of my head right now. There's some things to start with.
I mean, along with what Andrea said, I would just more scheduled networking places where I can say, okay, this is kind of a quiet area. This like cafe, whatever they set up during like 2 to 6. We have set aside a place for you to go have meetings or sit down. Mm-hmm. It's near food, so y'all can grab a coffee and do your network or meeting thing. Because there weren't a lot of spaces that either weren't the convention and cost an arm and the earth. Right. Or if you went outside to the food truck, you had to go back through security. Mm-hmm. They didn't even do a thing like, yeah. Oh, we see you've been in already. We're going to stamp
your
you.
Hand or something.
No.
And you had to go back through security. So that was the other part. It's like, mm-hmm. Oh, you're hungry. Wow. Spend $20 in the convention center for ridiculous food.
Right.
Go outside and hope you come back at a time there's no line.
Exactly.
Or leave entirely and just take a break.
Wow, that's terrible.
Yeah,
so like I said, for me, if I didn't know Andrea and other people who knew that there could be a good time to be had at TwitchCon, that it could be managed better, I'd probably be like, this is not worth my time and money as a business expense.
Right.
Because, you know, there's a lot I'm trying to do with Twitch, both for my personal channel and for I Need Diverse Games and Spawn On Me, but that didn't give me a lot of the opportunities that I thought would be there. If I didn't schedule a meeting before I got there, a lot of it didn't happen.
Right. That's true.
Yeah. It kind of sounds like what we go through a lot on the, you know, not on the TwitchCon side, but like most conferences that we go to, if you haven't gotten things scheduled. And it's different now than it was in like year two of Spawn On Me, or like even like year one and two of Spawn On Me was a lot of me being like, please help. I have stuff. Look at my business card. Look at this font. This font is dope.
I'm saying.
Yo, can we get up in there and do stuff? And now it's a lot different where people know what we do and know of us, and we don't have to knock as hard on certain doors. And also people come up to us now and be like, hey, what's up, y'all? But it feels like, you know, things that I've learned in streaming that I did not know was just like prepare yourself for the worst in a lot of ways, but also just remember that like the energy that you spend while you were doing this thing, you have to kind of balance that out in all the other directions. So it's like this weird starfish of like trying to make sure you're doing multiple things at once and also trying to make sure that you're brain is healthy, your body's healthy, you know, the biggest thing, because Tanya and Andrea hit everything else that I think you could actually give yourself to a intermediate streamer, but like going to conferences, just wash your butt, just make y'all don't stink, because conferences people, a lot of times people stink.
Oh my, like,
and you know, and you just gotta be like, yo, just make sure you're not one of them people, just make sure your butt is clean.
I feel like they should make you walk through like they should have like how like when you walk into a space station they have to like depressurize you.
Oh my god.
Like, they should have that. Yourself?
Yeah, they should have that to get in the cons, like,
you know, remember,
because I'm like, I bet you there was at least two baskets that were filled with deodorant that they wanted people to take.
Remember one convention they were passing out like body spray and like hand sanitizer. Please,
they were like, they had like tubs, they had like, I saw one PA who was coming from one like an IGN or like a GameSpot stage show, and she literally had like a brick, like a Costco brick of small deodorants.
Whoa!
That she was giving, like she had to like hand to people who were hanging out by the by the stages. And I was like, "Yo, I mean, that's if you've been to conferences, you know, conference funk is like day three.
Oh,
you gotta walk through the conference funk cloud. And yeah, if you make it out, you make it out. If you don't make it out, it just is a hole that people just fall into and they just die from funk from like conference funk cloud.
Wow,
you know I'm right.
Well, you know true, but here's something interesting because I think it was Carmen or Andrea who told me last year they had like a little like con survival pack. It was like tissue, hand sanitizer, like a little first aid, something. Mm-hmm. This year it was in the partner bags.
Just in the
Oh. That's smart.
I didn't see anything. Like the little fanny pack thing they gave us had
the shaker
cup. The shaker for some shit I don't even drink.
And a bunch of like postcards advertising stuff. Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. Yeah, it's an interesting conference. I think, what year is this, Andrea? This is year two or three?
Three.
This is the third year? I feel like they just have a lot of learning to do. Mm-hmm. I feel like this is very young. For a fairly young company, too. Like,
it is.
If you were to tell, I don't know. I mean, well, think about it this way. E3 has been going on since we were all zygotes.
Man.
It's a long ass time. That's an exaggeration.
Thank you, Professor Adams.
Whatever. Anyway,
in the Cretaceous period.
In the Cretaceous period when E3 was just starting.
Wow.
We all know that conference has been going on for a very long time, and we saw the weird growing pains that they had to go through this year.
Yeah.
Now they opened it up to the public. It's interesting. Interestingly enough, the weirdness that goes on with the PAX people and their politics. Besides that, if you were to just look at their actual conferences, though, their conferences are on point.
Absolutely.
Like, their security stuff is on point for the most part. Like, they understand how to deal with massive lines. They've figured out ways to do all that stuff. So, like, in terms of Twitch, I think they're still fairly young.
Mm-hmm.
And I want to give them at least a year or two before I feel like it's a conference that I write off.
No, I wouldn't write it off, entirely. But I'm saying in comparison to San Diego... Like, it was like kind of a nosedive to go from San Diego to Long Beach. It was just like,
yeah,
What happened? San Diego was amazing.
Yeah, I think you're letting them off the hook a little bit, Kyle. I think 3 years is enough to put up a sign to say exhibitors.
Mm-hmm. Or at least have
speaker badges.
Right, at least tier the badges. Bare
basics.
Yeah, tier the badges. We need speaker badges. Exhibitor badges are always going to be a thing. I think it needs to be affiliate or GA and then speaker badges, exhibitor.
Yeah, right. Yeah, exactly. I mean, I would agree with you, Kai, if we were talking about things like flow or, oh, it's too crowded at this time or it takes too long to get here. That's like growing pain stuff, but not like, you know, put up a sign that says this is where, you know, like, you know what I mean? Like, I don't know. I don't know if I'm
because I didn't have all those problems in San Diego. Like I had other stresses to deal with, but it wasn't like, am I going to get into the convention center on time to start my job? Like,
I wonder if they change like event management.
Quite a possibility.
That happens a lot.
It does.
I know that's a case that happens a lot.
Well, I think this year was the first year they had Twitch staff dedicated to putting together the con. But I don't know what their experience is for actually putting together a convention. Because Nani, Cool J in the chat knows this. Other people do. I am on the committee for a lot of conventions. So there was a lot of stuff where it's just like, I had to turn off con organizer brain to not nitpick every fucking thing every minute of the day. But it just seemed like there was a lot to get into that we just could have been handled so much better. And not, you know, and I feel bad that Twitch staff was put in weird spots. Like, you know, I got a friend who works in data science. She was put on merch.
Right.
Like, you know, like hire people that is their job to make things go smooth, to make it flow and not utilize your staff in a way that everybody's burned out, flies home Sunday night and expected back in the office on Monday.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
The first year they had cashiers and outside workers. And then if staff wanted to volunteer for the merch to get, like, you know, like the free shirts or like the exclusive free TwitchCon merch for staff. They could volunteer. I wish they would have took that from the first year and put it this year. Hire people, hire cashiers, please.
So the next TwitchCon might be in Egypt, guys. Might be in Egypt.
Don't tell me. Don't get my hopes up.
And you might be walking around with a shroud and a knife and be stabbing people in the back like in Assassin's Creed Origins. That was a great transition. Thank you, Sharif. That was awesome. Great. Okay.
Wow. Did he just like pat himself on the back? I can't even give him a chance.
Yes, he did.
Yes, I did.
Okay, Hidden Blades.
So, as we know, we are recording this on Thursday the 26th for the audio listeners. So Friday the 27th, Assassin's Creed Origins drops. Been really hyped up. Obviously, Assassin's Creed is one of those franchises that, you know, used to be a annual series, but then they decided to sort of take some more time to sort of reinvent it. And Syndicate, the previous one, actually got some pretty good buzz on it as well. But Origins is really getting a lot of buzz. Kai and Atani, I know that like you guys have like had some time with the final version. Andre, I'm not sure if like you've had some time with the final version. I have not either. So you can join me in the Losers Club.
I'm upset because I love Assassin's Creed.
Let's start with Tanya, because I was watching your stream and like it was great. What are like your like initial impressions of Assassin's Creed Origins?
You know, I didn't know what to think because I'd actually given up on Assassin's Creed until Syndicate. Yes. And Syndicate and having a female assassin brought me back to it. Because I was like, F Unity, fuck Unity, I'm done. I told them that when I went to speak at Ubisoft, because I was like, y'all ought to be ashamed. You know, having Evie Fry brought me back to the series. And I've been excited for this game because I'm like, it's set in Egypt. We will have brown people. We will have brown people. And if they got Egyptian people working on the game.
Yeah.
Our friend Andy Bingney, it was his idea to have the hieroglyphic wall. And, you know, I've been excited about it. I kept seeing the screenshots. I saw stuff out of E3. And then loading up this game, it was like, I don't say this often. I got super fucking emotional. It's set in Egypt. Mm-hmm. It's accurate. You know, people are speaking the proper language and dialect as you walk around. And photo mode, rip my hard drive. Nah. Like, totally rip my hard drive. Because, you know, and the other thing is, and not to be too spoilery, but the protagonist has a wife and they're happy. There are two brown people in love and fucking happy.
Yay.
And that we never see that in games. When we do see a brown couple, black couple, in this case Egyptian, they either aren't together, they're arguing, there's a baby mama drama or something. Mm. Regardless of when the game's set, you never see two brown people in love and they're assassins together. Look, let me go find my boo to be an assassin with me. I mean, as it is, people thought I was legit out here poisoning people on Twitter. Because there's a mechanic where you can poison a body and it infects others as they walk by it. I tweeted that because I kind of accidentally started killing people in a village. I came back through and there's like a pile of bodies. And I was like, oh shit. Maybe I should have carried that body away.
Oh my god!
And I was like, I didn't think about it. I like infected the body because there were other enemies. Oh, I'm like, they're gonna walk over here and find me, and then they'll die. And I was like, oh wait, whoops! But then I tweeted it, and people were just like, I was worried, and I'm like, okay, I'm gonna let y'all alone because if I was going to do such a thing, do you really think I'd be on Twitter bragging about it? Like, let's be real here,
right?
But, like, there are things where if you draw your bow, you can dip it into any fire wandering around, and you've got a flaming arrow.
Yes.
And the fire physics move with you. And if you put the arrow, like if you sheathe your bow or whatever the fuck you call it, the fire goes away. It's not like I just pull fire out of my pocket.
Oh, that's cool.
right. And like Anna, a friend of mine in the stream today, she was excited because like the dust when you run and walk and that's you you brushed against a pot and you broke it. Like so many tiny details that are making me fall in love with this series. And, you know, I've already spent about 10 hours on it. I barely scratched the surface. And, you know, this is going to be what I play, like, forever. This maybe sort of kind of Wolfenstein, whenever we talk about that, because I'm feeling a way about it, like, an hour in.
Yeah. Now, what like, surprised you in the 10 hours? Was there anything that made you say, like, I didn't think that would be in an Assassin's Creed kind of game?
Crocodiles creeping up on me.
Ooh. Wow, you first mafia, now this.
That sounds amazing.
The alligator queen.
But I was just chilling, and suddenly this crocodile's like, "Hey, buddy, what you?" I'm like, uh-oh. "Go back in the Nile." What? I'm walking. Like, leave me alone. But then it's like there's a side thing where you got to rescue someone from crocodiles, and I'm like, man. "Why are you out here? Why? That's why? Bad. What?" I should leave you here. Like, you were stupid enough to be out here in this lake with these crocodiles. Stay there.
Wow. That's hilarious. That is hilarious. But I wouldn't ignore the gators because one might have a quest. Like, they might just talk and they might have a quest, okay?
I don't think they talk, because if there's never talking know. Gator. Okay, look, never we already know. Have the historical accuracy argument.
Before. We don't know what happened back then, Tanya. Okay, we don't know.
Look, I'm gonna be okay until a hippo rolls up on me, and then I'm gonna be like, "Fuck this."
Yo, that is the most Hotep shit I've heard on this show in a long time.
That's right.
Yo, what? you don't know what the alligator is gonna say to you out in the motherfucking.
You don't know what right? they're gonna say.
Sharif, are you a secret Hotep? Is this a game now?
Look.
I'm done. Hashtag secret Hotep. Look,
I'm about diversity in all forms, including Hotepery.
Okay? No, not Hotepery.
No, instead of secret Hotep, secret Hotep. Somebody go make this shit.
Secret Hotep.
Hashtag secret Hotep.
That's a new shirt. That's a new shirt coming up.
I embrace
making
it.
Making that shirt this week.
I can't.
Don't embrace your inner Hotep. Don't embrace your inner Hotep. No. I like you. Don't do it.
Oh, that's so good.
So
I was answering.
Okay.
I'm sorry.
Oh my gosh.
So, Kyle, what's your experience so far with the game?
Hashtag hippos will fuck you up. So it's interesting. So I got a chance to play a little bit early. I went down to San Fran. To go to a early event to go play it, and had like 4 hours to play of the game. They put you in some random like part of the game where it's like I don't know how many hours in or whatever. I got a good sense of what I was getting into, but then when I got it home and got a chance to play it, it is so much better than I think people are really going to think about an Assassin's Creed game. Huh. And I want to echo what Tanya said about the setting. I don't feel like I've ever really kind of felt an attachment to a setting in an Assassin's Creed game like I feel like I am with this and having it in Egypt, which I feel like it's I'm not going to pull some like mega this is the motherland, so I feel some other shit like that. It's not like that, but it kind of is in some weird way where it's like, oh, I expect this continent and where the places that I'm kind of traveling to be a certain way and feel a certain way, and it feels like, you know, they have gotten and taken the time to do what Ubisoft does fairly well, which is like bring these ancient lands back to life in a way that makes you feel like you're living in them in some form or fashion, and it feels really good. Like the combat, my one thing so far that I'm finding a little bit troublesome is the combat. Mm-hmm. I like the combat from the earlier games because I felt like there was a different flow to it mm-hmm. than there is in this one. There is a good flow in this one, and maybe I'm just not finding my like sweet spot with it yet. Mm-hmm. That being said, this game is all about the small things and the details. Like mm-hmm. there was a really cool scene early on between Bayek and his wife in this cave. This is not a spoiler. In a cave. And it's not a spoiler. in a cave, mm-hmm. and just the lighting on their brown skin felt right in a spot that was like in a cave where like mm-hmm. moonlight was shining on both of them, and it felt right. Like there are small animations in it where you see Bayek smile in a conversation, and it feels like a genuine smile between two people, two human beings. They do something with the sand physics that's really freaking dope. Like you roll through the sand, like you roll through the desert, and if you've ever been in a desert or you've seen a desert scene where you have like the shadows of the like the wind hits the sand and it does that like that flutter mm-hmm. thing that it does, like it does that in the game. Like Mirage, like you hit the sunset, yeah. and like you see the sunset, you see the like right. haze from the heat.
That's
like,
so dope.
There's so many small things that they do that's really dope. And there's a really cool, this you get this thing really early on. This is not a spoiler either, but you get, speaking towards the small things, you get this other outfit. You get other outfits throughout the game. And you get this early outfit that has a helmet. And the cool thing about that is when you're in cutscenes, the sound that you have when you're speaking sounds like you're in a helmet.
Oh.
So it sounds like you're speaking through something that has a very small mouthpiece mm-hmm. and also is reverberating within the actual sound space of the That's helmet. Cool. It's so many small details that they've done with the game so far. And the way the story is kind of routing itself is really interesting in a way that I didn't feel like I was going to expect in previous games. Because you know there's all the parts about, you know, the, you know, if you've been paying attention to any of it, like the stories about, you know, how assassins are in this world and why they're in this world and, you know, how this whole clan of people came to be and all this stuff. And you get little pieces of that within the story too, which is stuff that I always really cared about and always liked about the series. So I'm probably maybe like 15 to 20 hours in, maybe. Mm-hmm. And again, like talk about scratch the surface. Like I'm not even in to like the third place yet. Mm-hmm. Oh, wow. And there are like at least 10 other spots left that I need to go to that aren't even open up yet.
So is that because that you guys are doing a lot of side quests, or is it just that the main story is that meaty that it's, you know.
It's hard to tell right now. I don't know, and I can't say because I don't want to spoil anything.
Well, yeah, but don't say any details. I was just curious.
No details, but I can't tell yet because I feel like this game, like, of course, these games are going to have a lot of fetch quests and there's going to be filler, but the filler doesn't feel gross yet, if that makes mm-hmm. sense. Like, there are the things that's like, well, go get this alligator tooth from this thing. Like, why the fuck would I go get this alligator tooth from this random right. person? And why, like, why I got to go do that thing? Mm-hmm. Those things don't feel like they're in there so far. Like, every fetch quest that I've done or every side quest I've done has felt like it is kind of interwoven into the main story. At least it's giving me more insight into my character and giving me small decisions of, like, why you would do a thing as opposed to why you wouldn't do a thing. Mm-hmm. But like Tanya said, like all the things that she was talking about, they're definitely there. And photo mode, my God, that thing is taking up so much of my time. And that's me too, because I love photo modes in games, because I always do that kind of stuff. But like, it feels so good so far. Like everything feels really, really spot on. And it brought me back in, because the last one I played was 3.
Oh,
I didn't even play the other the
like
one.
You didn't play Black Flag.
I just bought it. Oh, I just got it the other day because they had a sale on it, and I haven't played that. And the thing I actually want to play is the one that had the slave narrative in it.
Oh yeah.
That's the one I didn't want to play that I wanted to play, but I was like, I heard it wasn't that great. So
Freedom Cry is okay, but it starts you off with marine combat. So if you're not used to that, you're like, "What the fuck is going on?"
It's like right. DLC essentially. So it's not a full fleshed out thing. But the But the one thing I'm worried about this game is the same thing I'm worried about with a lot of not only Assassin's Creed games but Ubisoft games in general. Mm-hmm. Is I feel like they tend to be a little long in the tooth. Like they tend to, like they just go on for
they
so
drag.
Long. And it's not for justifiable purposes to me. Like, I always feel like either there's this middle 10 hours that I feel like can be just removed, or mm-hmm. it's that the first part is, like, fun, and then the ending is just, like, super, like, want. So I'm hoping that I'll experience that with this game, because it is something that I think almost every Assassin's Creed game, even the ones that I really liked, like 2 and Syndicate and Black Flag, I liked a lot as well. They all, I had that same feeling where, like, I was like, damn, Ubisoft, couldn't you have just chopped this down like a little bit? Like, I know that you're trying to make this long, epic $60 game, but I'm like, yo, just chop it down a bit. So I'm hoping that, like, I don't feel that. Now, I have one additional question about Creed for you guys. Have you guys run into any of this microtransaction stuff that I've seen floating around with the Helix credits and all this stuff? Do you feel like that you're progressing at a pace where you don't have to, you know, that, like, you don't feel that pressure that you have to buy these, I guess, loot crates for any better sense of the word? Or like, do you feel like it's kind of shoved in your face and you feel that pressure to do it?
No, because, I mean, right now there's not a lot that I can't either break down for crafting, or I'm sure I'll come across it, because outfits seem to be reasonably priced for what you earn. I don't feel yet like I need to throw real money at it. There isn't anything that's like, ooh, I must have it. And then there's Twitch Prime loot coming tomorrow when the game is out. So it's like, I've already got like one pre-release bonus. I'll have Twitch Prime bonus. I don't see a real need for it yet. And I've never felt that way about any AC game, where even if that Helix credit was in there, I feel like I earned enough in the game where I didn't have to spend actual money.
Yeah, and I can't really speak too much to it, because I got a press copy, and usually press copies, they give you the kind of not just standard level version of the game. They give you like the deluxe version up.
Oh, so you have credits and stuff.
So it gives you credits, and it gives you a couple of items and stuff that you would already get. Thank you, Ubisoft, actually, for that, because we got stuff from y'all and review code and all that. So thank you to everyone over on the team. I've never felt like I needed to buy any of that cosmetic stuff anyway, because you usually get good enough weapons to do what you need to do. Interestingly enough, I will say this, the stuff that you do get in the deluxe version, I have not really not used that stuff for most of my playthrough so far. Like, it's so good that you kind of do cool stuff with it anyway. Like, it basically poisons on hit. And there's stuff that you can get in the game that does that. Like, I found random pieces of kit or of weapons that do that stuff. But getting it early on made it so that I was a little bit more competent in some fights than I probably would have been early on. So that was helpful, but it didn't feel like any of the stuff that's in there that I did wind up spending credits on, the cosmetic stuff, felt like it was that, you know, different than stuff that I would already get.
Okay. Okay. Yeah. I was just really, really curious about that. And also, there was a question about the chat. And I don't know if this will be a spoiler, but I guess it wouldn't be. Have you guys noticed any of the sort of modern day, like, Abstergo kind of plot lines in this game, where, like, you were like, you know, so for a short recap, if you never played Assassin's Creed, for the listeners, right? Typically, like, the parts that you see are, like, in the past, but the game actually takes place in the present with a character that's actually inside this machine called the Aminus that's experiencing the past. Is that in this game? Like, have you guys seen that, or is that too much into spoiler territory? I don't think it is.
That is too much. It is too much.
Is it too much?
Yes.
Okay.
Per Ubisoft, we cannot talk about any of those things that have been just said.
All right, then we will shut up and edit that part out. Awesome.
No, you can leave this part in. It's just
no, you can leave it in. We just can't answer it.
Yeah, I forgot that, like, the game, like, isn't out yet. Right, it's like out in like an hour now, I guess.
Yeah. By the time this show is out, we can talk about that stuff. But right now, only spoiler that I have is Gator Teeth is in the game.
Okay.
That's right. And if you meet up with a hippo tip, they tell you that the black man is gone. So just
black man is gone.
Just throw that out there. All right, guys. Let's move on to a game that we've already played. Well, not all of that I've played a lot of. I can speak for myself on the PS4, and I cannot tear myself away from this game on the PC as well. Destiny 2 just came out on the PC. You know, like, this is Bungie's big open world shooter. It is already I think the console version is already the best-selling game of 2017.
Not surprised.
And it's not really that old.
It's gorgeous. Yet. It's gorgeous.
So it's sort of a phenomenon. And, you know, I put in quite a bit of hours in the PS4 version. I played through all the content and then kind of put it down until the next, like a DLC is out. So I didn't know how much time I would really put into the PC version because I was like, you know, I've seen everything and I'll, like, play it kind of here and there because I have all these other games to play. And, man, once I booted up the PC version, it looks, sounds, and feels so good that I was like, I gotta play through this again. So I've been playing through the single player again, but I've been playing through it, you know, with obviously at a higher like fidelity than at the PS4 version in terms of the visuals. But my favorite thing that's different about it is what's called like the field of view, which essentially, you know, I usually alter this in my PC games. It like basically changes the viewing angle that your character sees. So it puts like more stuff on the edges of the screen. And the game just looks so much better, especially when like you're out in the wide open spaces. Like you can just like, you really feel like you're in the world, especially because, you know, when like I game on the PC, I'm, you know, like very close to my monitor. So like you see this, you know, it just almost looks like that, like you have like a VR headset or like something on, because it's kind of wrapping around you. I mean, it's, Bungie really, really did a great job of not porting this game. Like, you can tell that they built this game from the ground up for PC. And it feels like a native PC game. Like, it never even came out on console. Like, it feels really good. And there's been some bugs. You know, I've definitely run into some bugs. You know, like, this is their first PC game in a long time. And they do have, I forgot the name of the company that they're using to actually do the actual coding. But it's not just them. But this is the first one that they've been involved with. But wow, I haven't really double dipped in a game like this before. But I would say if you're into Destiny and you have a, you know, a mid tier to high end PC, I mean, I think it's totally worth it to play on the PC. I had so much more fun in the Crucible because obviously with mouse and keyboard you can react much faster. I can turn around really, really fast and just, you know, like I can back up, I can shoot somebody and then whip around and like I look and like look to the west, east, all that stuff. It just feels really good. And man, it's just like I know I can't play the PS4 version again, which sounds super elitist and
it does, not but elitist, it's okay.
I forgive you. But hey, I am owning my PC elitism in this case, that it is marvelous on the PC. You know, I don't have like I have a pretty good PC, but it's definitely not like a high end PC at this point. You know, like I can't run it in 4K at 60 frames a second. I don't have that good of a PC, but at like 1080, I can pretty much run it with everything maxed out at 60 frames a second. And man, it is incredible. Incredibly. Yeah. So
incredibly.
Yeah. So I kind of have, I get a chance to dig around in it all.
Yeah. And the company, the devs that you were talking about, Vicarious Visions, are Vicarious, the ones who did the port of the game, and shout out to them because this is by far like one of the best ports I've ever seen kind of go from a console to a PC that wasn't natively done on both. And it's not something that I feel like I'm going to play a bunch of, only because of just time, and I hate that level 20 grind.
Yeah,
like I've done it twice and I don't ever want to do it again. Like I don't want to do it again, but I started another character. I started a Titan, and I'm just like, I don't know if I really want to do that whole thing again, even though it looks really pretty. I can run it full out, like 4K and blah 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 blah, but it's like that time sink is going to be something that I'm going to do in bits and pieces. And honestly, the more interesting part about it is like I'm kind of done with Destiny 2 already. Until I get to the next content pack, I've already leveled out my one character that I'm going to level up. I don't have the need or want to kind of do that again until more stuff comes out. So it's a really pretty port. It looks really good. Like, they've done a phenomenal job. I just don't necessarily want to dig through that grind again when there's so many other things that I could be playing. So it'll be a thing that, like, hey, I want to raid. We're going to raid on PS4. I'm not raiding on PS. I'm not getting that person. I want to see what it looks like, the raid content looks like on PC, because it's so pretty.
Yeah, that's what's motivating me to get there on PC. Yeah,
it's going to look really pretty on PC. But I'm curious, actually, to hear. Andrea, I know that you are way more into Overwatch than into Destiny, but have you, like, dug into the Destiny 2 content at all?
I have a little bit, yeah. I did. I played the beta, and I was smashing out on it, and I'm like, yes, this is our next community game. like, I had a lot of fun. Like, I love shooters. Anything that puts a gun in my hand, I could pew-pew. I'm a happy lady, so I'm excited to start it on console, but y'all just so high-leveled. I was It's going to take me forever to catch up.
If you roll a new character, I will roll one. I'll roll another one.
You promise. We got witnesses in chat.
Because that's the thing is, like, I can't play that thing alone anymore. Like, I can't do that grind by myself anymore because it's so boring. But if you want to do it,
yes, that would be fun. Let's do it.
I'm down. Tanya, what about you? What are your thoughts about Destiny 2 stuff and how things are kind of coming together, both on the PC and consoles? Like, I don't think we had a chance to talk about that with you yet.
Well, I'm playing on PS4, mostly just playing with friends. I'm not at max light yet, and Leviathan Raid looks like that's the day when I can do absolutely nothing with my entire day and go try to do that raid.
Oh, yeah.
Is that the one that's like 8 or 12 hours?
I think if you go in blind, like, it'll probably take you multiple hours.
I'm sorry, how many?
Yes.
Going with a good team, it'll take you probably a few hours the first time.
Wow. Yeah. Destiny 2, if I look into a code or if somebody gives me the hookup, great. Otherwise, I can wait to spend money on it because there's like 8 million games coming out tomorrow.
Yeah.
So I don't have that much time in the world.
Yeah, I mean, it really makes no sense that I'm playing this game. Like, it makes no sense. You know, like, I should not be playing this game that I've already, you know, I was like, I maxed out AI character. I played everything, and now I'm playing it again. I'm like, what am I doing?
And see, that's just it.
I didn't enjoy it that much.
Yeah, I just didn't think that I would be willing or want to go back to PC and replay all the same shit I've already done.
That's interestingly enough a thing that is going to be more problematic when it comes to all these games being on PS4 or console and PC. Yeah. So, like, luckily enough, we got codes for Assassin's Creed and stuff. And the PC version is going to look gorgeous. And I'm like, do I stop playing the PS4 version now so I can, like, wait until PC, until I get a PC code, and then, like, fully enjoy it and all that stuff? But also, I like to play on my couch and don't like to play in the back room on a PC with the TV Mac
host. Yeah.
So it's like a weird, it's mad first world problems to the nth degree. Yeah. Mad first world problems, but it is a thing that I am thinking about in, like, real ways. So I don't know. But what I do know is that we are going to take a quick break. We're going to take about a 3 to 4 minute break. We're going to hang out some more with Andrea. We're going to talk more about, actually, after the break, want to talk about, go back to TwitchCon for a minute and talk about the wonderful panels that Andrea and Tanya were on, because they, again, are making a difference if you like it or not. So that's real.
Man.
So we'll be right back after this.
Hey, Spawn On Me listeners. This is the crew of the Optional Podcast, coming to you each week from New York City, where we host a show all about the latest in video games and entertainment.
Our podcast is on a mission to highlight more voices of color in games media. We represent those who love the art form but don't fit in with the gamer status quo.
So be sure to check us out at theoptionalpodcast.com. We're available on iTunes, Stitcher, SoundCloud, Google Play, and YouTube.
We're not your typical gaming podcast. This is video game commentary for the rest of us.
Hey, everybody. This is Macedonia of Radio Besatz, Both Sides of the Surface. Trust and believe that you are always in good hands with the ambassadors of Burkago. Khalif Adams, Cicero Holmes, Sharif Jackson, and Tanya DePass. Only right here on the Spawn on Me podcast.
Welcome back, everybody, to the Spawn on Me podcast. This is episode 197. We just came back from our break. We talked about bacchiotomies and a whole bunch of stuff, well, being hurt in the chat. And now we're all back and good. We are refreshed. We are rehydrated and we are ready to kick 90J Cool out of our chat. Anyway,
basically, bye.
a thing that we didn't get a chance to talk about before we went to the break and before we finished our TwitchCon conversation was some of the really awesome panels that Tanya and Andrea were on and hosted and moderated and were a part of. I kind of want to give the floor to Andrea to actually talk about the ones that she was on and talk about some of the reaction to some of those wonderful panels that she was on. So Andrea, the floor is yours.
Okay, so Saturday I did a panel with it was myself, it was Janae, it was Black Oni and Denny, and our panel was called the Twitch Afterthought. And then, you know, kind of like they made us cut it down, so but the whole title was Twitch Afterthought, discussing inclusivity on Twitch. And basically it was just kind of a refresher for streamers of color on the platform, you know, how to use your moderation tools, how to protect yourself online, you know, our experiences on the platform as casters of color. And we also wanted to do something a little different, so we added resources and we also gave tips to like industry people who were there at the panel to kind of be like, hey, you know, you can't hire diversity consultants, right? Here's how you might go about that. Just different things like that. You know, it was people that who were upset. It was people who were upset. Like, I was getting like screenshots and sent to my DMs and in my mentions about people upset in the chat because I didn't have it open the whole time.
Right.
But I got some pretty funny reactions after the panel. We got tracked down by some folks. They were upset.
What? Track?
It was hot. It was upset.
So I took a peek into the VOD of the stream. And let me just say that them's is some haters out here.
Absolutely.
Some haters in this house. There's some haters in this house. And it's interesting because, like, the panel that you did was super, like, there wasn't anything inflammatory in there that you would think would raise hackles, but it feels like any time one of these panels gets put on, there's this weird instance where we have folks who are just in the chat who are like, why do we need to have this kind of
Absolutely.
Thing? What's your kind of thought about that stuff where it's like, again, I feel like you and Tanya, you know, with the work that you've been doing, especially on a diversity side and talking about, you know, bringing these conversations to the greater Twitch community as people who are on the platform and use the platform and advocates for the platform. Mm-hmm. Like, what are your thoughts about just like how this has kind of played itself out in those ways where you still get this weird pushback from members of the community?
Yeah, it doesn't really, like, in the sense of what happened with Steakloins and I, how she kind of tracked all of us down after the panel started like mentioning us, which was like ridiculous. But I expect pushback from people like her who really don't get it. It's weird when I get pushback from other streamers of color, that kind of throws me off more so than the people you expect to already have some type of reservations or feel some type of way about diversity. That doesn't really, I won't say it doesn't bother me, but it doesn't faze me. Like, I've had like white dudes in my face talking about diversity that they don't understand it. So like some random chick from Australia on the internet is not gonna like upset me. That kind of stuff bothers me because it's in your face. You can't really ignore it. But like random people on the internet, whatever. People are always gonna feel some type of way about diversity. And I'll say it like I said it in Steakloin's chat because she was one of the people who was upset about the panel. Long story short, homegirl was upset in the Twitch chat. She found our Twitter after the panel and just started like mentioning me and Denny and Janae and Will and like these really weird tweets. So I addressed it and I told her, I'm like, it's not important to you, but just because diversity is not important to you doesn't mean it's not important. You right. just feel that it's not important. I right. can't really help you with that. Like, oh, well, whatever. Like, okay. But yeah, she was upset. So for those of you in the chat who missed it, was an upset streamer. She felt the panel was unnecessary, but it wasn't enough for her to verbalize that in the chat while we were on the panel. She opened up, well, tried to open up a discussion afterwards, and that led into 2 days of me just kind of having to let her know, like, sweetie, just because your partner doesn't mean your opinions will go unchecked.
It's not their brand. I mean, yeah, like, if I made a fucking game, most likely my protagonist would be a white male, like. And, you know, when I see games, are the vast majority of protagonists white males? Absolutely. Is that a problem? No. I mean, most of, like, the heroes that we see in modern day life, heroes or people that do things, are white men. You know, so when someone makes a game or whatever, a lot of times they're like, well, the most realistic story would be this. I don't like seeing a token woman being put in a movie. You know what I mean? Like, oh, we want to see, we need this, like, chick sidekick, because then, oh, look, we have a female.
So I rolled up in our chat. I sure did. And we had time to discuss things. Because don't come up in my mentions saying that you want to discuss something, because I will actually take you up on it. So I just waited until she went live and went in her chat, and we had words. Mm-hmm. Had to let her know about herself.
Tanya, what are your thoughts on this, Tanya?
Well, so where do we start?
Man, listen, I'm saying, like,
so, you know, overall, the Twitch Unity stuff I felt was an afterthought unto itself, because there are folks in the chat and Andrea where it's like, okay, caveat, I know all the people mostly that were in the advertising for Twitch Unity Day, but it's the same gay white dudes all the fucking time. The same couple of black dudes that everybody knows. No black women, no dark brown women.
Right.
We're out here too. You know, I can count on one hand the number of black women I know that are partnered. And and I also want to address what Andrea said about when other black folks and other people of color push back on diversity. And it's like, I usually find that's the people that got theirs, like, fuck you, I got mine. Oh, you know, I got partnered, I got whatever, I've got my shine, I'm not going to worry about you. It's not about race, because you're in that place that you can overlook that, but I bet you anything that if you go in certain spaces, you go in someone else's chat and they find out that you're black or brown, they're going to call you the same fucking slur they're going to call me.
Yeah, yeah.
So, that bugs me, because, you know, that was one thing that bothered me the most with the Twintel piece that I wrote, is that the worst pushback I got and the worst hate I got was from other black folks. People, you know, trying to, and I had people like messaging me on my personal Facebook, tweeting at me, harassing me, you know, talking all kind of stuff, both professionally and unprofessionally, instead of just going, okay, we're both people of color. That's not how I feel, but I can respect your opinion.
Right.
Because people don't know how to disagree, or just shut the fuck up if they don't. You know, I can disagree with someone professionally. We all know we don't all get along. Not in that sense, but, like, we disagree. Right. Not don't get along. Because, I mean, the episode with PewDiePie is a perfect example. We kind of got on each other's ass, but at the end of the day, we're still friends. Exactly. And we still work together.
Right.
So, because the panel I was on was about politics, and I wound up moderating it. Andrea was in the audience. The thing is, with politics, people always want to go, I'm not political. I don't want to talk about politics. Mm-hmm. And those are people that have nothing to lose. Those are people that can go, oh, I don't like politics. I'm apolitical. It's just games. Man, fuck you. Ain't no game ever been apolitical ever. So, you know, it's just, it's ridiculous. It's everybody that wants to be hands off and act like everything, oh, it's just a game. We're all geeks. We're all Twitch streamers. Now, fuck you. Because for me to have a powerful moment playing Assassin's Creed Origins or Mafia 3 or Watch Dogs 2, it is never going to be just a game. When I play the new Wolfenstein, it's about killing Nazis. What do you want to bet somebody's going to be in my chat like, why, you got to be racist against Nazis or whatever? And granted, they're going to be trolling, but it's just, it's just the people that have nothing to lose are always the ones that want to take no chances. You know, I could talk all the shit I want. I could be political as I want. But at the end of the day, that's going to cost me more than anything. So I can be real, or I can be true to myself, or I can make a lot of money. My conscience is the one I got to live with. So you know, Adam brought this up on the panel, other people brought up on the panel, is that you have to make a choice. You even saying I don't want to be political is a political fucking statement. Because you can't just throw up your hands and be like, oh, no politics. Because making no choice is making a choice, and it's making a political stand of you want to be on the sidelines. And when you do that, you're siding with the oppressor because you don't want to speak up for yourself because you have no skin in the game because you're going to benefit. So fuck them.
So I just dropped a clip in the chat so you can see and hear what was said. And this was a small part of the not dopeness that was shared on that stream to her community. And it's interesting because I do that not to, you know, our community isn't one that's rabid in that way where they will like go after state coins and say blah blah blah. Yeah. We don't do that. That's not who we are. But I feel like I shared it because I feel like it's necessary. Again, it's like you have to understand what we are up against on this platform, not from the platform again, but like this is the space that we are sharing.
Right.
This is the space that we are sharing with other folks who. When these things are being shared and to Twitch's credit, they didn't have to have those panels at their convention. They did have those panels at their convention, which means that even at the worst case, if it's lip service to just keep people to shut the fuck up, we are at least getting some chance to share some of these things that we are going through the process and through the platform that they have provided with us to stream. Mm-hmm. So I think in that respect, that's progress in some ways. But we are also bucking against and fighting against the people who say those things and say even more on those particular streams. Mm-hmm. Tanya, I want to talk about the panels that you did and kind of let you run with the stuff that you were working on at the conference real quick.
So the panel I was on that I wound up having to moderate was being political on Twitch. And I talked about it a little bit. But the gist of it was, you know, what does it mean to be political on Twitch? What does it mean, you know, is Twitch a public or a private space? And, you know, and we also had presence in the Twitch Unity booth, which wasn't even a booth. It was like, it was weird because we were way in the back by where the meet and greets were. Nobody could find us. I don't think it was in the app or the booklet.
The app, the maps were weird.
And, you know, we had a good discussion, but then the questions happened. Because we did have a Twitch staff member, Citizen was on the panel. And, you know, I knew it was going to be bad considering we're talking about politics. Mm. Because everybody's got their feelings about politics, whatever the fuck they are. Mm. And at that point, I was already kind of done because I had not planned to moderate the panel. And
You weren't even planning to moderate that panel?
Oh no, that's a story. That's a spawn after dark story.
Yeah,
that's a spawn after five shots story.
That's not even after shots. That's a when we're done with the stream, we can talk.
sweet.
So you know, I'm already kind of on edge because I hadn't planned to moderate, and y'all have seen me moderate. You know who I am. And, you know, Adam had to duck out because he kind of got overscheduled. So it's me, Jenna Sequoia, who's in the chat. Hi, Jenna. And Citizen. Love to field questions. And the very first question wasn't even about our panel. It wasn't fucking relevant. It was basically wanting to argue about Twitch Unity Day. It's like, there was a panel yesterday you could have gone to. What? So, yeah. And it's like, and they were like, I have a two-part question. I'm like, no, you don't. You get one.
Y'all must not know Tanya.
Man, okay.
Two-part question.
But it was just like, we got 15 minutes. You don't get to have your two-part rambling question. And then, you know, we got through the questions. And then some people were, you know, like, they were kind of shy. I was like, oh, no, you came to this panel. Y'all better ask some questions. We got 5 minutes left.
Right.
And so somebody decided to have his moment about, I'm a conservative. And I have unpopular opinions. And I know I'm making a face and I'm mocking him. I give zero fucks. Because apparently I made the black person sigh that everyone heard that and hilarious. Still talking about. And he was like, he basically, he said, I want a guarantee that I can say the stuff I want to say on Twitch. Now, keep in mind, Brian is not part of the moderation or admin team. But why would you ever sit there and demand a guarantee in a public panel from a staff member to give, basically say, yeah, sure, go ahead, say whatever the fuck you want on Twitch. Because we know people do terrible things on this platform. We know people do all kind of shit that never gets caught. And so Brian basically like, if you don't violate the TOS, I mean, what else could he say? But you're going to put a staff member on the spot. Mm-hmm. And then, I mean, we talked about this on Twitter, but I need to know what was wrong with the last person who asked a question. They couldn't remember the word for emotes.
I don't.
We all think they were high or drunk.
Yeah, I think they were drunk. I think they were drunk.
Because I think they were trying to ask about harassment.
With the emotes,
yeah. Right, but it's like, where are we going with this? Like, yeah. What is this talking about? And it was just like, none of the questions really asked were that relevant, except for the one person who asked about how to talk about politics with younger people. So it was hard because everybody wants to be apolitical when it comes to games and go, it's just a game, it's just a game, it's not important. But a lot of the stuff that I've dealt with, the worst stuff I've been is when I played a game that has no choice but to be political, like Mafia 3, or Watch Dogs 2, or, you know, any game that is very political. And I was tired of the, but my games and politics. And it's like, nobody said you had to discuss politics in your chat, but it's going to come up. Whether you wanted to or not. But we also kind of discussed how Brian got things like the DNC and the RNC on Twitch and other stuff. Right. And he talked about, you know, Twitch Unity Day a little bit. I didn't want to focus too much on it because at the end of the day, Twitch did a thing that they thought was good. It could have been better organized. It could have been better executed. But they, in and of themselves, were not politicizing it. It was the people who were mad about it existing that politicized it. They're like, why you got to have Twitch Unity Day? It's like, show me how many black partner streamers you know. Show me how many times you see women of color, people of color on the front page of Twitch. And look at how they're treated when they're on there. My talk at Twitch was front page. Y'all saw the chat.
Yeah, it was bad.
I saw the chat for the politics panel. Y'all.
It was bad.
And this is your convention that you are running. You can't moderate your own chat. Yeah. Why should I trust you with my safety?
Yeah, so, like, that's my main question, right? So, obviously, you guys did these panels. So, Twitch, by doing that, you know, the outsiders say, all right, Twitch is supporting these things because they allow these panels to go on. They, like, have you guys go. But I get frustrated because when I log into the chat, my thought is, okay, Twitch knows that these are lightning rods for trolls. Why don't they have more mods or more active mods on the channels? And because I feel like either it's a case where there are mods there, but they're just overwhelmed because there was just so much toxicity that I saw in the political chat, especially. And I would think that they would put more effort into trying to regulate those because they know that it's going to get nasty, you know? So I always kind of wonder, are they, you know, as a company, you know, and we talk about the same thing with like, during these Hearthstone kind of tournaments and during Madden tournaments when there's all these slurs kind of like going around, you know, it's not just a Twitch problem, but do you feel like in this specific case that they were vigilant enough to, you know, to moderate these spaces so that you could have the proper conversations?
No. I mean, look at how trash the chat was for both our panels.
Yeah. It was bad.
And, you know, their admin staff was there. So it's not like they didn't know that chat was happening. And, you know, right now, AutoMod and chat and stuff is not smart enough to scan for usernames.
Right.
Because even if you get banned out, people can take 30 seconds to make another offensive username.
Right.
So even the admin staff, everybody's working triple time. And it was getting good enough audience and it was in one of the bigger rooms. You would think, hey, we know this is a fraught topic. We need to have more mods on staff. But the thing is, if you are in a convention center with no access and you're not in like Command Central, it's not like somebody can be on their phone and moderate the chat, you know? So, I mean,
that's a hard deal too, because it's like the thing I like about where Twitch is going is the fact that they are starting to delve into some of the stuff, but it is an interesting also secondary note to say that maybe we aren't ready yet, which sucks because it's like in the YouTube space, which is fairly young in terms of viewership, Twitch is exactly the same way, where it's a lot of younger folks who are in there who are the demographic who I'm not going to give them the green light and be like, well, y'all don't know any better because that's bullshit. There's enough adults in there who know what the fuck is going on who still will make this shitty ass comment. But I think that in the grand scheme, it feels like Twitch is at least trying to have the adult grown up conversations, which is good because they had, you know, as good or bad as you believe Twitch Unity was in its first couple of iterations, it's there. Hopefully they will at least see that, you know, from what we're talking about as people who are doing fairly well on the platform and trying to get bigger, that it's a meaningful thing to push some weight and push behind. The political stuff, I'm sure they're going to maybe do the RNC and DNC thing again once the new conventions come up, because that was huge for them viewership wise. They even did the Comey hearings, which was an interesting thing. So they can't play the "we're not political" stance.
No, and I don't think they were ever claiming they weren't political. I think it's how people respond to it.
Well, I think that there's a thing though, right, where it's like they may never say that we have a political stance behind it, but it's the same thing that you'll see when the conversation happens about like all games journalists are left-leaning, right? There's this weird, there's this thing that people believe, and therefore it's a thing that people kind of push out as the narrative. But what they're doing in and of itself is bucking that. Like, you can't have the Twitch votes thing, which was a fairly apolitical thing, but it's like that's a political stance that you're taking by like having people vote on it is giving the opportunity for politics to be on your platform. So I wonder, and I hope that, again, this is me hoping that humans do better, which I don't have a lot of hope in. Not anytime soon.
Good luck.
But I do. Right. Yeah, good luck on that one. You can thrust or bust on that one. I hope that Twitch doesn't falter under the weight of the whackness, right? I hope that they continue to push and allow stuff that people are kind of interested in doing, us included. I have some real cool plans that I want to put on Twitch and do some stuff that hopefully involve all of us here. That is way political and very black, and we'll do some hopefully super fun stuff with. And I know that the chat will be gross and terrible, but I don't care because I will raise the fist and I'll put my emo up in there and it'll be fine.
Look, I already got a plan for like a queer, bigger, and blacker panel next year because love Adam, but the gay panel was very white and no bisexual folks.
Oh, yep.
At least no one identified as bisexual. So I'm like, there's Brandon, the one brown person. I don't know if anyone else is white passing, but it's just going to be the bigger and blacker, gayer panel.
Well, that's an interesting thing. Really quick, I want to poke into that real fast. And this is the part that hurts, right? Is there are enough smart and camera ready people who look like us, who are from those marginalized folks, who are on Twitch. But it feels like if you aren't the it Negro or the it, you know, other person that they're like, we need a gay person, we need a bi person, we need something. Like, if you aren't in that group and you aren't that person or in those sections or people are looking at you in that way, there's like no other focus towards anybody else. And that viewpoint is really narrow. Yeah. And that's the thing that I'm hoping when we get a chance to talk to people at Twitch is like, look, there are so many other folks who are in this space who are doing this work, who are ready to get some of that space and deserve some of that space. And why aren't they in there? Why aren't they have a space at the table? Why aren't they, you have enough events throughout the year that you can do that work. So, and you, it's not even that, like not everyone has to come to Twitch to do that work on your, on your platform. Like people can do it. We've seen it with Indie E3 when they had Indie E3 do their dope stuff. And we've seen it with other people when they do their stuff with Small for Good and with other people who are doing their panels and stuff in other space. Like, I can't wait for Feminista Jones to jump on here.
Oh, that would be sick.
If that's ever a thing. You know what I mean? Like, imagine that. That would be fantastic. That would be so dope. For her. And she knows about this panel. She knows about this platform. it would be dope to see it, but the chat would be terrible.
Yeah.
So that's the thing, right?
Well,
how do you balance that stuff out?
Well, and it's hard because, I mean, I know Drea has brought it up. We've all brought this up, is that when we talk about the exact same things that happened to us, you know, we don't change our tune, we don't change the story. It's all these things that have actually happened to us. Right. We get either disbelief, this kind of, oh my God, that still happens in 2017. Yes, so, I know, yeah, what the fuck I just said. But then let a white person go out and say the exact same thing and parrot what we've said. They get kudos and they're so aware and they're fighting for the poor disenfranchised people when they're basically repeating what we have said and taking our stories. You know, and that's one reason why I kind of rock with Adam, because he is very aware of this and acknowledges it, mm-hmm, versus a lot of people I see not acknowledging it. Right. That they're on these panels and it's like, why are you, white dude, on a diversity panel? Just because you're gay doesn't mean that you're so marginalized. Or if you are that one same gay white dude that everybody has to be on the same fucking panel, let someone else go be on that panel.
Right. Pass it on to someone else who could use the opportunity.
Right. And that's the thing that we do too all the time.
Yeah.
Like, we try to boost up people all the time.
Yeah, but they don't think of it as boosting up.
No.
Like, when you see diversity as a checkbox,
right,
and when you say, like, well, we're already familiar with this checkbox, so we don't want to rock the boat and put another checkbox. Like when you see it as kind of like, you know, cells on a spreadsheet, mm-hmm, you know, to make something that looks marketable, I think that's why you see, like, the same things around, and that's why, you know, that we have the issues that we're talking about now. All right, so let's move to our last story. And we'd be remiss if we did not touch at least a little bit on what's been going on at NeoGAF, the internet's biggest gaming forum, which is what I saw quoted at many sites, which I didn't realize it was the biggest. But okay,
it was huge.
So NeoGAF, if you're not familiar, it's a gaming forum, has a long, long, long history, and essentially the owner of it, was accused of sexual assault that occurred back in 2015. You know, and you know, as we've seen a lot of women come forward under the Me Too campaign, this woman came forward as well. And the owner, Tyler Malka, aka Evil Lore, is also someone that has been accused previously as well, and basically a bunch of mods and administrators walked out. The site went down, you know, this site is huge, so it's like, think of like the gaming section of Reddit going down.
Oh.
Yeah, so I mean, there are a bunch of people that, you know, wow, like they spend hours and hours and hours on that stuff every day. I personally found NeoGAF to be fairly toxic. Mm-hmm. It was kind of advertised as this sort of private space where, like, you know, like not everybody could sign up for an account. You had to get approved, and like it was like advertised, oh yeah, you have to be affiliated with the industry somehow, and like we're trying to make this like a space just for the in crowd. But I went to a lot of threads. There were some good threads in there, but they were like just a peanut in a sea of stuff just shouting down people.
I'm sorry. And he said peanut, and I thought the next you can in a sea of doo doo. I'm sorry.
Okay. Caliph Adams, ladies and gentlemen.
I can't.
I'm sorry. It's a Full Metal Jacket reference. I'm sorry.
Okay. Anyway. Thank you, sir. Okay, all the mods walked out. NeoGAF was down for like several days. Currently NeoGAF is back up, but the owner did post this really long post where he basically said, like, hey, everything's fake, and none of this is like a true, and like we're gonna be even more vigilant about you know, about like the toxicity on the site. Uh-huh. Which is weird because I started scrolling through some, mm-hmm, of the posts on the now open site, mm-hmm, and a lot of them seem to be directing, when they're talking about harassment and toxicity, mm-hmm. they're talking about harassment of the owner because right. he got accused of sexual assault. So they're talking about harassment of him, uh-huh. not necessarily the general like misogyny and racism and homophobia and transphobia that I saw on the site, you know, for years before, which is why I don't go to it as much, even though I do have an account there. So like, yeah, this like kind of rocked the industry a bit. As I said before, I didn't go there as much because I didn't feel like it was a safe space for me, but I know a lot of other people did. On one hand, I'm glad that some of these guys are finally getting called out. Like, these guys have been getting away with this stuff for years, are finally getting mm-hmm. called out. And on the other hand, I don't like how I've kind of seen this trend, not only with this, but like with these other harassment kind of cases where the people that have assaulted other folks are now saying, well, the toxicity is against me because now I'm being harassed for being a harasser. Wow. You know, so it's like this weird meta thing. You know, it's like the thing where people say that the worst thing is to be called a racist. It's like worse than actually being racist, you know? right. Yeah. Yeah. So I was just wondering what everybody thought about this. What are your experiences with NeoGAF, if any? And, you know, do you think that it's a good thing that they kind of got shut down for a bit to rekindle things? And start with Kyle.
Interestingly enough, like it was that weird elitist site that when you felt like you got in, and that was a weird feeling. Cause I was like, oh, I got into NeoGAF. Oh shit. Like right. I got into NeoGAF. That's a thing. But it was definitely the place that I would go to and look for new stories for, you know, Spawn Point Blog was going up. Mm-hmm. To try to find scoops on stuff because there were a lot of devs and a lot of press people in those groups who used to share out information to folks, and it was a great place to find leads, and it was a great place to find, you know, the latest information on stuff that didn't get out into the world yet. And it doesn't surprise me that, like, the person who ran it was an asshole, was a it was a person who, like, did terrible things to other human beings and especially to women. It's like in the past month, like, that we all know that people in power do terrible things. It's been really even more evident in the past couple of days and weeks and months, even though we all know that those things are happening, even if we don't want to necessarily, you know, talk about them all the time. It just sucks that these people have gotten into these places and feel like they can do these things. And then feel like they are accused of something that is above beyond the pale when they have done all these terrible things for a long time. Like, anybody who's gone to any gaming conference in the past 10 years can ask any woman anywhere about if they've been rubbed up on, if they've been harassed, if they've been catcalled, if they've been, you know, anything. And the answer was yes. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? And it just sucks that it's like it takes this bubbling up for it to come up that people are just like, oh yeah, that's a thing. Like, yeah, it's always been a thing. It's never not been a thing across all strata of everything. So it just sucks, but I'm happy that the site is gonna, I'm happy that the people who were there, who talked up and spoke up about it, moved on and made their own thing. Reset Terra, which I think is the new site that a lot of those people went and made. But it also sucks that people are gonna stay at NeoGAF. Yeah. Yep. Like, I would have hoped that that there would have been a mass right. exodus of everyone leaving, but it doesn't seem like that's wow. the case. So I don't know. It's a weird and sad, terrible, shitty thing. And I was happy when it was shutting down, and now I'm mad that right. it's staying up. Right,
like, oh, it should totally yeah. be shut down.
Yeah. It's freaking Andre, you have thoughts on that? You want to jump in?
I was kind of out of the loop when it came to that site. Like, but in terms of predators being exposed, I'm all for that. Yes, please. Always expose yeah, always. All the predators. But I'm sad that the site is still going to be like active. It's like if 4chan goes down and then comes back up, it's just oh. like that like happy moment where you're like, yeah, it's shutting down. You're like, no, it's back.
Yeah, and like that's what sucks because yeah, like this dude, you know, he still has sight. Like, you know, he hasn't seems like he's aside from having his Maz and stuff walk out, he hasn't seemed like he's really suffered at all. Like, I'm pretty sure that people already knew that he was doing all this stuff already. So it's like, yeah, so it's, you know, I'm happy that it came out, but at the same time, I'm like, I don't see him really facing any serious repercussions.
Of course.
For doing this kind of stuff, which sucks.
That does suck.
Tanya, you have the last word on that.
I knew NeoGAF existed. I stayed away from it. Just like I stay away from Reddit. People are always like, oh, there's a thread on Reddit. I'm like, that's cool.
Like, it's Reddit.
That's cool.
Well, it's just like the TwitchCon feedback. People are like, oh, there's a thread on Reddit. I'm like, no, I'm good. I'll email them.
Right. Like, you don't have to.
And fuck a Reddit. I said that thing. Fuck Reddit. I don't go on there.
Damn.
And I'm sick of it always being thrown out as a resource.
I mean, they have really good cat pics, though.
You said cat
pics? I got Twitter. I'm friends with cats.
I'm just saying.
There
are some good parts of Reddit. I don't want to besmirch all of Reddit.
I'll besmirch all of Reddit. Fuck them.
I don't use...
Damn.
Speaking of cats, I actually forgot to ask, did Ka or Tanya, did either of you pet a cat in Assassin's Creed?
Not yet. You can pet cats.
No cat petting yet.
I was busy running away from alligators, so
unbelievable.
And like poisoning bodies to kill
people. Find these damn cats
and burning herself with fire.
I saw that tweet. I got words for you later, sir.
What?
I got words. All I got is that tweet. That's all I needed.
I can't.
Tanya, so you want to share what happened for the people who didn't witness it?
If I come to PSX, I'm gonna come find your ass, Khalif Adams.
So what happened was Tanya was in this fight. And you have these oil barrels or these like containers with oil in it. And because you got to do it for the people who are listening to the podcast. You can't just do it for the people. So she was running around and she broke these oil containers and then she pulled out a fire arrow and burned her ass up. Okay. She's just like rolling it. And then the beautiful part about it was that Tanya has this really great
yell when
she's in danger in a video game.
I hate all of you.
It's the best thing on the planet. It's the best thing on the planet.
It is.
Because it goes from like to like to like shit. And it's like it's like a cuss machine gun. And it's like,
oh my god, it does so much.
It's like a cussing machine gun.
I hate you.
And then my favorite part of all time when Tanya plays is when she plays stealth games and sneaks up on people. Cause she screams surprise motherfucker, and it's the best thing.
It's so good
on the planet. This is the reason why
I personally like the Venom.
Is to see her scream at people and be like, motherfucker,
the best.
And scream at people and fuss and cuts. It's beautiful.
I feel so exposed right now.
Why?
I like it when you say fucker.
This is the thing you can market.
It's the way that you say it.
This is the thing that you can market. You can market this.
And I just die every time.
Yeah, like fucker.
It provides me with such joy.
It's the best. It's the best thing.
Wow. Okay.
Hashtag best thing.
Yes, the cackle.
Surprise motherfucker. Hashtag.
I live.
It's so good. It's so good. That's the reason why I love you. That's the reason why I keep coming back.
Pet some damn cats.
The scream too. The scream too.
Next week, you know what? Hear about some scream.
See, is that? Never mind. That would be vulgar even for me.
Oh wow. Oh wow. That means we got it.
A Tanya soundboard. Yes, please.
So if you don't see me hosting this show, you know I got run up on in Portland.
She's gonna
just some there's a random flight. Just gonna see some like random flight just come out the sky. Like, oh, shit.
So
Khalif got assassinated, created by
Tanya. Now see, I gotta have a reason to be in Portland. I gotta have a reason to be in Portland because you're only safe because it costs the Earth to go to fucking Portland.
Yeah, you're right.
But let me come to PSX.
Uh-oh.
I will find you.
I'll film it, I promise.
I'm going to be up in there. I'm going to be up in there. It's like, I ain't mean nothing by it. By that time, it would just be like, whatever.
Oh, no, because I'm sure there'll be more clips and you'll have talked more shit about me.
Oh, my gosh.
Oh, yeah, yes. Definitely. I'm saving them clips, too. I'm saving those clips. Anyway.
No, you started this, Khalif.
We're almost out of time.
No, there's always time.
Khalif's like, okay, we're almost out of time. That's the show for tonight.
You can't start this shit and then be like, oh, sorry, we're out of time.
I can't.
Hey, this is the way I moderate my panel.
We're out of time. That's it. Good night. Yeah.
And with that said, we're gonna get up out of here for episode 197 of the Spoiler Me podcast. Andrea, thank you so much as usual for hanging out with us, being one again. Like, when I say this, I don't blow smoke.
Thank you.
Are one of the best streamers on this platform. You consistently and constantly amaze me with how positive you are and how wonderful the community is that you have grown on this platform. It is really inspiring and has helped me and us like try to figure out how to navigate this space. And it's been fantastic to see you grow here. We hope that you are continuing to do that in all the ways that you possibly can. So thank you so much again for hanging out with us tonight. And share out your social media stuff for folks who want to follow and your channel and all the things.
Absolutely. You can find me simplyandrea.com. I am simply Andrea everywhere. Facebook, Twitter, Twitch, Instagram, all of that. You can find me just about everywhere.
Word, and more word. Reef, tell everybody at home the social media business, please.
Sure. Hey, people. SpawnOn.me is the website. SpawnOnMe on Twitter. SpawnOnMe on Facebook. And if you want to support what we do, you can go to twitch.tv/spawnonme to watch us stream every Thursday, 7:30 Pacific, 10:30 Eastern. There is a follow and subscribe button if you want to support us there as well. And also make sure to check out our Patreon at patreon.com/spawnonme, where we are working towards specific goals. We have already met our goals to enhance audio quality, and we will be developing two more shows for you guys that will be coming soon. But we're right near our next goal, which is to enhance our like video quality to get some equipment and things like that. So make sure to let us do that as well. Also, you can watch Ka in the video make motions of squares in the background as well. If you want to send us a email, then you can also get us at spawnonmepodcast@gmail.com.
Word. Thank you everyone for hanging out with us this week. Every week we are going to try to keep to a better schedule with the VODs and do those every Saturday at noon PST. We're also going to be hopefully moving some of these shows once I get time to edit them and put them on our YouTube channel as well, so you can view them there. Join our community on PSN. We have a community there, so if you want to hang out with us and game with us there, we'll be figuring out ways. If you're a Patreon especially, be paying attention to that space, because we'll be kind of getting together, at least on that platform, to try to figure out how to get everyone in and play games with us if you've gotten to that tier, if you donated at that tier. But it's a good place to kind of look at what we're doing over there as well. And again, we're on the road to 1,000 followers. We currently, from the numbers that I just saw, we're at 955, so we're almost there. And we're almost at the next level for another emote, which is another cool thing that we do here on Twitch, which is fantastic. So again, thank you everyone for hanging out. Thank you everyone for supporting. And we will see you all next week.
Later, y'all.